Today, I want to speak about the monster of being on top of things. So, let's start like this. Let me start by asking you, how do you feel when you're not on top of things? Do you beat yourself up? Do you push yourself harder, maybe? Do you feel ashamed, guilty, unworthy? Does it make you feel good when you're told things like, "Oh, how do you do all that? You're so great. I would never be able to do as much as you do," or something like they should give you the Wonder Woman badge for the amount of stuff that you do in one day. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong about wearing your Wonder Woman badge and be proud of how amazing you are. A side note, you are absolutely amazing. I know you are absolutely amazing. But let me ask you another question. How do you feel on the inside? Truly, like brutally honest, how do you feel inside? You know, when there's nothing else to do, what happens then? Do you want to more to do? Do you feel like you need to do more? Can you sit still? Can you actually be still with yourself and feel? I remember years ago, a client who told me she would spend the entire day cleaning the house, and it was a big house to clean. And then she would sit down with the intention to rest, maybe read a book. But all she could see was that one corner where one cobweb was still hanging, and she could not let it go. The entire place was spotless. There was like one little corner. These are her words. But she could not let that go. She felt bad for not having done the job right. And what would others think of her when they saw the cobweb? And it made me reflect on my own life at the time. It made me realize how much of what I did every day was dictated by a core belief of not being enough. I had to do. I used to fit so many things in one day, more than it should be humanly possible, to be honest. At times, I was working 8 hours in a highly demanding job and with no lunch breaks, no toilet breaks, no breaks. And I was getting home then, and I was being a mother of two, plus all the rest. And I still was feeling like I wasn't doing enough. I was still apologizing for my lacks. I remember there was one day that I did that as a exercise personally for myself, and it was like, how many times in my home do I say I'm sorry for not having done something? You know, not sorry because I don't know, I accidentally hit. Bumped into someone and hurt them. You say sorry, that's okay. I'm talking about saying sorry for, oh, the soup is not warm enough, or oh, the tea is not served yet, or oh, I haven't cleaned that corner of the house, or maybe I was just sitting reading my book and my children came down or my partner came down and oh, sorry, I shouldn't be reading a book, I should be tending to you, I should be doing something. And I counted it. I don't even remember the number, to be honest. It was years ago, but I counted an outrageous amount of times that I just apologized, just for nothing really, for nothing, but just for simply existing and not being enough. Does that sound familiar? And I'm not saying that you can't be busy. Or that you should sit around all day doing nothing, and that's a sign that you're loving yourself. But if you find yourself doing a lot and you're always feeling exhausted, yet despite the bone deep tiredness, you can't even sleep at night, and your body aches, and you never stop telling, you never stop telling yourself what you haven't yet done, if that's what's going on inside in your inner world, it's worth taking a moment and explore why that is. Running yourself rag is a very unhelpful pattern, and it is not your natural state. Even if you've grown up believing that it is just the way you are, even if you've grown up believing, oh, you're a perfectionist, or that you're a very active person, and oh, you hate being still. You know, we say, we put ourselves into all these categories, all the way to, oh, you know, my mind is always racing and I just can't help it, or I won't go into labels that might be placed upon you by the higher powers. Let's not go into that. But that's not your natural state. And it's not that it's not natural for you to be active. We're all different. And there's going to be people that are just slower and they like doing less, and people that feel more active. And then there's like seasons and parts of the different cycles of life, and there's energy levels, and there's so many factors into this. So we're not all the same. I am not here to give a formula as to what is the right amount that you should be doing in your day. I really resented that when I was told that. Oh my, you know, like, if I'm able to do this, you can't tell me I'm not able. So I'm not going to do that for you. I'm not going to be telling you what you're able or not able to do. But you have an inner guidance system that can, and actually says it pretty loud usually, what you are actually able or not able to do in your day, how much, and if you are accessing the right fuel. So if you're doing from a place of inadequacy, of not being enough, of apologizing for your existence and feeling you have to do more just to be worthy, or if you're coming from your heart center, from your core, from your heart desire, and you're tapped into your rhythms, and you're tapped into the nature that is you, then you're coming from a different place. And there's tons you can accomplish from that place. And the key is that one drains you. The first system drains you. You're exhausted. That exhaustion that is so deep that you can't sleep. That exhaustion that just has your mind racing. Because when you're exhausted, you have zero control on what your mind does. The other system energizes you. So after you've done what you had to do, you actually feel more energetic than when you started. You get refueled by the amazing stuff that you accomplish. So you can see the key difference here. So let's take a look at everything in nature for a moment. Nature moves in cycles of activity and rest. My most favorite example is cats. I have lots of cats in my home. So if you have cats, you know, but like anything in nature behaves like that and works in cycles. But cats are incredible. They sleep around 16 hours a day. And they don't give a damn about what people think about them, like, genuinely. So you're probably thinking what I have thought many times. I wish I was a cat. And I'm definitely with you there. But you don't need to sleep 16 hours a day to feel rested. You can still be a fully active woman with a lot of great things on your to-do list if you so choose. What you might need to change, as we said, is the patterns that are guiding you into constant activity. So once you do the work, once you actually become aware, once you reconnect with that inner guidance system that the vast majority of humans are not connected with, because we haven't been taught. I haven't been connected with that for years because we haven't been taught. Actually, we've taught the other opposite. and we go into that now, but once you reconnect with that, you might actually choose to do less because that it's what's more in line with you. I can't predict that for you. You can't either. But yeah, you could be surprised. Let's get to that, and how is all of this connected to being a daughter of a narcissistic mother? A narcissistic mother is unable to tune into her own inner system. Okay, she doesn't have that connection. She can't feel into herself and follow her own deepest guidance. So because of that, she will resent the child, who in turn does that naturally. As children, we've all done that. As baby and as small children, we are all connected to that inner guidance. It's there. It's naturally there. What does the baby do? When the baby's hungry, cries. When a baby's tired, sleeps. It doesn't go with, well, it's not actually the perfect time for sleeping. I should really be playing right now. No, a baby's tired, the baby sleeps. A baby's not tired, a baby awakes. It's very tuned into their natural rhythm, okay, at that time, at that moment. So if your mother was a narcissist, she has trained you from childhood to disconnect from your inner guidance. So you would follow her truths instead. You would do what she told you without questioning. Because when you have an inner guidance system that is active, you are not going to follow what other people tell you to do when it's not right, when it doesn't feel right inside of you. But when that just gets, that connection gets cut off, then you are vulnerable to, and you become forced pretty much to do exactly what other people say, and who shouts the loudest wins. So also having a narcissistic mother means you were never credited for just being. That's a big thing. When I learned that, I was like, whoa, yeah, that makes so much sense. Never. I mean, for just being, purely because I exist, I get acknowledgements. Her love is conditional. Meaning, if you have done what she told you, what she likes, what she approves of, then you will get the reward. If you haven't, you'll get the consequences, whatever that is. If it's rage, emotional abuse, physical abuse, and everything in between. Maybe a reward was a praise. In my case, there were few and far between, so that depends. It depends on your own experience. Or maybe the reward was simply being left alone, you know? That she wouldn't rage at you, that she wouldn't beat you, she wouldn't do anything, she would just leave you be. And that was enough of a reward. If you haven't done what she's told you, she might then withdraw her affection, get mad at you, training you this way that you are loved not for who you are, but for what you do. That you don't deserve love for being, but you constantly need to earn it by doing. And you always come up short because her demands increase all the time and the bar is always set higher. There isn't a set bar that you know, okay, once I'm done this, I'm good, I'm clean, we're on. No, she just keeps moving that bar. So you never know. And the sick joke is that society has plenty of ways to back those beliefs up as well, so giving you very little space, if none at all, to explore other pathways. Society does not credit you for just being. So again, that gets confirmed. So what happens then? You do and do, and you keep doing, getting a kick by the validation you receive from doing, although that validation is short-lived, and you feel so exhausted. But you keep doing, seeking a love that is unreachable, because deep down you feel like you don't deserve it ever. It sucks. And if you feel like that, I get it. Those words that I just said describe how I felt for so long. Not enough, never enough, no matter how much I did. That's why I get it. I really, really, really get it. It took me a long time to realize I was still seeking my mother's approval behind every nod of validation I received. And it took me even longer to accept I will never get her approval for being me. But as sad as this realization was, it was also extremely liberating. When you understand your mother is a narcissist and she does what she does because she can't do otherwise with the awareness she has or doesn't have, and you start realizing on a cellular level that you are off the hook, then you can truly start doing you. Whatever amount of activity means being you. It is a process of detangling from beliefs that are not yours, from labels that you might have been given along the way, from patterns that no longer serve you today, to the point that you feel different in your body and you feel allowed to be. You are allowed to be. Hear that. Three amazing words, like a magical spell. You are allowed. You're allowed to be your own person, separate from your mother and her judgment and beliefs. You are allowed to be a sovereign being, as you are. You're allowed to be in charge of your life. I still remember when I heard that the first time within myself, actually. It's not that someone else told me, but it was like all I saw was permission and to be allowed to just be. It was like, can you feel how liberating that feels? Like your entire body just wants to go, oh, yeah, I am allowed. Just sit here now. And feel for a moment how that feels in your body. It's yummy, I can tell you. It's yummy. It's a yummy feeling. Does that mean you won't be able or capable of doing all that you do? Perhaps it means you won't feel the need to do as much as you do. Because as we said, you will be able to tune into your body and inner guidance and truly feel what is the perfect amount for you. And it's different for everyone. There's no formula. I said that before. I'm saying it again. The secret is not in the number of things that you do in your day, in your ear, in your life, but it's in how you do it, where you're coming from when you're doing it. When you're racing after a love you believe unachievable, you never get a break. It's a lost cause. When you're trying to fill a hole of inadequacy within you, you never get a break. You're literally not allowed to rest. Unless you get sick or something else happens, which gives that part of you the perfect excuse. That's actually something that happens. This can lead to your body showing up symptoms. So you can pause and slow down. You're forced to. And people caring for you give you the love that you seek all the time. So that's another way this can manifest. You know, your body showing up symptoms. Your body getting sick to the point that that part of you that is seeking validation all the time through doing is allowed in some way. It has an excuse to be allowed because you're not allowing yourself. You don't think you are allowed. You don't feel you are allowed. Then you need to find an excuse to be allowed. I remember we had this with my partner when we were very busy. We were working so much. We had two small kids. A lot was going on. And sometimes we just wanted to maybe just go for a little walk. you know, nothing major, but like a 10, 15 minutes walk just to reset the system, because it was go, go, go all the time. And I remember we copped that we had this dynamic where if one of us wanted to do that, there was an excuse that was needed. We were always this justifying, sort of like, you know, I have a headache, so I need to take a break. Or, oh, I'm, you know that how my partner has had breathing issues, so how it affects my breathing if I don't go out. So there was always that part that was excusing, and we stopped that at one point. We were like, okay, this is not on. If you want to go for a walk, or if I want to go for a walk, we need to own it. You know, I just want to go for a walk. That's it. Even if you feel that impulse to add all the excuses to it or the justifications, don't. I want to go for a walk. Yeah, you're informing me that you're doing it, but you don't need to give me the excuses and justifications. That's your system trying to seek permission to take a break. You don't need that. I've been there. I've literally been sick so that I could rest. Obviously unaware at the time that was going on. It's not that I made myself sick consciously, but that's what happened. And when you start connecting with the nurturing, loving energy that is always within you, when you realize how lovable you are by simply being, that you just are, you were born lovable, you are, you can start accessing a different kind of fuel. At that point, you're moving, living, and breathing, not out of shame, duty, and guilt, but from your heart's desire. Imagine that, moving, living, and breathing out of your heart desire. It's wonderful, isn't it? It feels like, wow, is that possible? What are you talking about here? You know, like, are you fooling around telling us these things? Is it really possible? I didn't think it was possible. I had a very rational concept of the whole thing, and I thought I was doing it because I was rationalizing it. Oh, but I'm choosing to do this. I'm a warrior woman, and I'm just gonna go. I have my Wonder Woman cap, and I'm just gonna do all of these. And of course, this is my heart desire. Well, it wasn't. It was a whole mental process where my body was going, no, 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 no. This is not working. This is really not working. And what I've noticed personally is that I do less and achieve a lot more. And I'm not slower, but I am in rhythm with myself, which is a whole different thing. It's not being slow, it's just the lack of racing. If that makes sense. Personally, I've heard plenty of, oh, it's human being versus human doing, and I do get the whole concept, and it is actually wonderful. But I want to reframe that. I don't feel it is about human being versus human doing. I believe it is about being while you're doing. Or being while you're exploring and experiencing your inner and outer world, and being while you're resting and pausing. Being present through all of the different parts of the cycle within an hour, within a day, within a year, within a minute, all the time. Being within you, being inside of yourself as you are doing, as well as when you're pausing. Truly being in your cells, like in your body, in your moment, in the moment, each moment. And knowing that you are lovable in every moment every moment of your life, regardless of your accomplishments. How does that sound? Sounds very good to me. That's how I live now. Or try to. You know, it's not like there's an end point and, oh, I have arrived. I'm here sitting on my big throne preaching to you all. There's plenty of times that the pattern of wanting to do sets in. And I feel exhausted. And I feel drained. And I look at myself and go, hey, here, you did it again. That's okay. And again, you know, you hear me saying, be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Because that's how you've been trained. I mean, you've been trained your entire life. And I'm 39, nearly. And so I've had like 30 odd years training into being unworthy if I am just being, and that I have to do to earn an unreachable love. So it requires an untraining of that and a retraining of the system in the more natural way the system would work best. So it takes time, it's a process, and the old patterns come back and they keep coming back in waves and waves and waves. And maybe there will be a point in my life where they won't come back anymore. I don't know. I'm not there yet. Being kind to yourself, it's essential in every part of this process. But I do know how it feels to come from a different fuel, to be fueled by my own rhythm, my own choice, my own natural state, and that feels just so wonderful. There aren't really words. It's when you experience it, you know it. When you get the first glimpses of it, you go, ah, oh, your body recognizes it. It's like your entire, all the cells in your body just go, oh, yeah, we know. We felt that like so many years ago. When you were a small baby, we felt that. And then there was a gap in between where we forgot that that's how life is. And now we can feel it again. And the, your cells, your body recognizes that. Your heart recognizes that. And once you start getting glimpses, then you can see what worked, what made you get there, how you got there. And then turn those glimpses into bigger moments, longer moments, and then stretch them, and then that becomes the most part of your life. And you can start practicing now by downloading the free guided practice on my website. It's a self-love practice. Again, it's pausing, it's being with yourself, it's feeling into your body, being guided through a process to do that, that really is helpful. I've done tons of that and I still do tons of that. And there's nothing like when it's guided, because then your patterns, your mind, your usual ways of going can switch off because they're being guided. And that's what makes it so powerful. So yeah, you can practice on your own, but when you use a guided practice, it becomes way more effective. So just check the link in the description, go on the website and access that. And yeah, that's it for today. I hope this was helpful. And I'm gonna send you lots of love. Bye for now.